kids, give them a big hand clap as they go. If you big kids have your Bibles, get them out to Luke chapter 15. And I got to have my computer up here today because we're having, and we got the PowerPoint up here too today. And appreciate Travis and all his help. Some of you heard this at the beginning of church, so I'm saying this. We're still online too, or did it? We're still going. In case it goes black on the screen, we're having to run off a hotspot this morning. Thank God for hotspots. But we're going to have Hudson Technology come out here this week and figure out what's going on with the internet because of the storms and everything. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. And I knew that this weekend was going to be the 4th of July weekend, and I wanted to talk about our spiritual freedom as believers. And but also want to say this, that as a believer, that you can be in bondage, even as a believer. It's not your spirit man saved, you're going to heaven, you know Jesus. But there's some areas in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, that the Lord's continually working on all of us, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. And you can be, and I'm going to use this word, and I don't want to scare anybody, but you can be demonized in an area in your life. And it can be something that's been passed down generationally. It can, you know, or something that you've opened the door up to. And so today, what I'm believing for is we're just going to close all the doors and keep the one door open to Jesus. Amen? And so that's where my heart is from this message. There's nothing spooky about what I'm going to say today. Every one of us in here are going through this as you're walking with the Lord, okay? Every one of us. And so, but I'm going to show you this in Luke chapter 15. And what I'm going to tell you about spiritual freedom before we get into this story, Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at actually 11, verse 11 through 32. I'm going to talk about the prodigal son today. But I do want to say this before we get into that story. Most of you, if you've been in church any length of time, most of you have heard this story in Luke chapter 15. But I want you to realize I'm not just going to be talking about the prodigal son today. I'm also going to be talking about the older brother. The Bible starts off that parable. Jesus starts off that parable. A certain man had two sons. Not one son, but two. So we can learn from both of them. And we're going to learn from how both of them, I'm going to go ahead and give you the big news right front, both of them were in bondage. Okay? And then I'll show you how they got free. We believe that they all both got free. I know one of them got free, and I'm hoping the older brother got free too. All right, freedom involves, when I talk about freedom and spiritual freedom, freedom involves this. As you walk with the Lord, we just come out of a series called The Journey. As you're walking with God in your Christian walk, as you're on that journey, you're going to constantly be experiencing freedom. All right, it's like God peeling the best way I can say an onion. You know, just He starts revealing yourself to yourself, and He's molding and shaping you in the image of Jesus. And so, and you're working with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working with you. But here's what freedom involves. Freedom involves discipleship, and we learn that that means learning, student of the Word, renewing your mind according to the Word of God. But it also involves deliverance. Okay? And I just want you to, right now, you're going to have to get this image, because every time somebody uses the word deliverance, I know what I used to think. I used to think of the movie Exorcist, right? The lady's head spins around, she throws up. Okay, maybe you didn't see that. Don't watch that movie, okay? Don't ever watch that movie. But that's the first thing I think of, is that kind of, and I'm just going to take all the spookiness out of it. You can read the word and be delivered. That's how powerful that word is. That's how the renewing of the mind happens, okay? So, and I want to say this right up front before we get into Luke chapter 15. You can't disciple a demon, and you can't cast out the flesh. Yes. I love that. It's Pastor Jack Hayford said that one. I wish I had came up with that one, but it's really good. You can't disciple a demon, and you can't cast out the flesh. But you've got to use the Word of God, your relationship, prayer, disciple, but you can cast out demons, okay? And you can disciple your flesh. amen, to line up with the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So this is how to, this Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I'm going to give you 4 points today, okay? And this is how to be truly free, how to walk in freedom with the Lord. And let's look in verse 11. We're going to read this story, even though I know most of you know that, and I could just jump around in it, but I want us to all hear this. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. Everybody say two sons. Because I want you to realize, a lot of times when we hear this story, we just focus on the prodigal son, and there was two sons that Jesus was focusing on. He says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Okay, he went and basically sowed his wild oats, all right? But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, aren't you glad you came to yourself one day? I'm so thankful of that. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. Boy, he is crying the blues, isn't he? That I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, okay, it's not just his, it's his brother too, right? Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And everybody said, amen. That's awesome. I love that. Now, here's the first thing that I want to tell you. This is how to be truly free. The first thing, when you're walking with God, you need to recognize that you need help. We have a helper called the Holy Spirit, right? We have helpers called a church family. We have helpers called a pastor, teachers, the fivefold ministry. We have all these helpers that we need to put ourselves in front of and be a part of. None of us in here ever arrive. Amen? You never arrive. We all the time need help. So recognize that you need help. And I love this story about the prodigal son, because in verse 11, we're going to go back up to verse 11 and read down to verse 17 again, because I think you need to hear the word and hear it. That's how faith comes. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to them. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession, wasted everything, all of his inheritance with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, here's where he recognized that he needed help. But when he came, when you're wanting to eat what the pigs eat, you need help, okay? So in verse 17 it says, but when he came to himself, or one translation says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And that's when he decided to go home. He recognized that he needed help. A lot of believers are in bondage because of the word pride. They won't let down pride and say, you know what, I need help. Lord, I need help. You can't do this walk on your own. That's why you need the Holy Spirit's help, and that's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. And everybody said, amen. You need help. We need help. I'm going to share this. I have a pastor friend of mine that is going through something right now, and he's been reaching out to other pastors, and he's going through a situation where one of his children has come out and said that they identify as LGBTQ, okay? And this is a young person that's been raised in church their whole life. And he's devastated. Him and his wife are devastated. And he's asking us pastors to be praying for him and his family and everything. And another pastor friend, who I didn't realize this until this all came out, was dealing with the same thing, had been dealing with the same thing years ago. He's still dealing with it today. And he told him, this is his advice to him. He said, brother, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I responded the wrong way. And he responded, and I'm going to show you this here in a little bit. He responded like the older son. And he said, when I responded like that, I'm going to tell you what, I caused about 4 years of damage to our relationship. And I'm just now, he said, I'm about 5 years into this thing, and I'm just now getting our relationship back where we can even talk civilly. I know that you can hear a pin drop in here now. And so this pastor has recognized that he needs help, and he can't figure this one out. And I'm in circles right now where all this is coming out. I've been talking about crowdthink. This is all coming out. Everybody's telling us to tolerate it. Everybody's telling us to accept it. There's even the lie that God ordains it. He doesn't. Okay? There's just all this stuff going on, and people, I'm going to be bringing some messages probably in August to focus on this, on how we minister to this. Because and I don't have it all together right now. I'm just going to tell you right now. Because I'm just going to tell off on myself. When I first was going through this, I started responding like the older brother. Okay? And the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, that's not going to reach them. Okay? That's not going to bring them into the body of Christ. And I'm like, well, I can't stand that they're being militant about it. You know, and the Lord says, well, it's time for the body of Christ to get militant. You know, we got to fight back. But there's a way to do it, and we've got to do it with the royal law of love. And when you speak the truth in love, people get set free. But there has to be that anointing upon it. And guys, the enemy is so good at this because he is convincing kids right now, and I call them kids, they're in their 20s. This one pastor said there's 20% of that generation that are identifying as this, all right? And because it's celebrated in social media, it's everywhere. And they're confused. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, confusion. You know, God is a God of peace, not of confusion. And so these kids are confused. But some of them think that God has ordained it. And the only thing that's going to set them free is the truth, spoken in love. And everybody said, how many of you are dealing with, I'm just going to do a show of hands. How many of you are dealing with this in your family? Because I am. Okay. All right. We all are. It's not just on the East Coast and the West Coast and somewhere else in the world. It's right here in the Bible Belt. And I'm wanting to teach us how do we minister to people like that. There's going to be people that's not going to receive. There's going to be people that's not going to receive it. I'm after the ones that want, they're in that lifestyle, but they want to change. They want to get out of it, and that's who we're after. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop there for now, because I'm going to be teaching on that here in August, I promise you, about how we respond to that. So this pastor, like I said, was recognizing that he needs help, and I just wanted to share that story because we all need help, and knowing how to respond to even that situation. And there's more things that I could talk about on that, but the point I'm trying to make is you may not be facing something like that, but we all need help, whatever we're going through, okay? Here's the second thing. The second thing is we need to repent to God and others. Everybody say repent. That, for some reason, that's become a dirty word in the Christian church, and that's the best word that we could ever say as a Christian. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is a good word. It's not a bad word. It's not a negative word. It's a good word. Very good word. And we need to learn how to repent to God and to others. In Luke, this is what the prodigal son did. When he came to his senses, he said, you know what? When he said, I recognize that I need help, he said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to repent to my dad. And so he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against God, heaven, and before you. So he went home, he repented before God, and he repented before his dad. Now, here's the word, what the word repentance means. But before that, before I show you or teach you what that slide means, is repentance and confession are two different things. Okay? Repentance and confession are two different things. Confession is a part of repentance, but it's not repentance. Because I can tell you this, there's a lot of people that come and confess their sins, and they cry at an altar, and they confess their sins, and they confess their sins, but they never change. Repentance is change. Repentance is, everybody ready to learn some Greek today? Here's your Greek word, metanoia. Metanoia. It's actually one word, but it's split up into two parts. And meta means change, and noia means mind. So repentance means change your mind. That's what repentance means. Repentance, and I've even heard some pastors, and I've even said it from the pulpit too, and I got to change my mind, is because it's not just confess your sins. That's part of it, is repentance. But repentance is change your mind. Something changes after you repent. And there's a teaching that's kind of slid into the body of Christ, and it's good, and there's some truth to it, but they've got over into a ditch with grace. Grace is not a license to sin, okay? And you don't just repent one time. I mean, I've repented this week. I have. Pastor got upset on a phone call this week, and I had to repent afterwards. Now, no cuss words come out of my mouth, I can tell you that, but my Tabasco sauce went up, and I don't like it when my Tabasco sauce goes up, you know, because it doesn't feel right, and I had to get very forceful with somebody, and I don't like doing that. And then after I got off the phone call, I was like, Lord, I repent, and the Lord said, well, you probably should have prayed before you made that phone call. Because I already knew that phone call was probably going to go south. I knew it before I ever called. And how many of you ever had those phone calls? Come on, we're in church. Let's be honest. I'm being honest up here and transparent with you. I knew before I had this phone call, I knew this is going to go south. And so, but I didn't pray. I got armored up in the wrong kind of armor. Like, let's go to Fifth City right now. And then afterwards, I had to repent because it affected my whole day. Even though, you know, we got the situation worked out and it all ended right, it all ended good, but it was started off in a shouting match. And at the end of the day, I just felt ugly. I just felt dirty. I felt, golly, I could have handled that a whole lot better, you know. I'm even going to tell you what this guy told me. All right, I just don't know anything but being transparent with you guys, because I'm telling you, I'm in this journey too. I'm walking this out too. And this even sent me a little bit above the Tabasco sauce line when this guy said this. He said, well, I thought you was a preacher and a stand-up guy. Woo, here we go. You know, yeah, here we go. Yeah, Mark's had that happen on the ball fields, being a coach and all this. And so anyway, I had to repent. And I even told Jade after I got off the phone call, I'm going to have to make another call to this guy, not right now. I'm going to give it about 10 days, but I'm going to have to call him on some situation. And basically, I'm going to have to eat some crow and tell him you're right and I was wrong. But, well, so I'm just telling you right now, I'm going through this too, repenting to God and to others. And everybody said amen. Okay. So that's what repentance means, metanoia, change your mind. And I just want to say this about when I got off on that little story was about the grace teaching that's coming. Grace is not a license to sin. And thank God for God's grace, all right? Thank God for his grace, but it's not a license to sin. And the word repent, and you don't just repent one time. As you're walking with God, he's going to reveal things to you, and you repent. You repent, you know, and you change your mind. That's what it means. You change your mind. To back it up, Jesus, if the word repentance wasn't an important word to him, Jesus in the book of Revelation told 5 out of the 7 churches to repent. All right? So I believe that he's telling our church today to repent. Change your mind. Change your mind. Okay. It's very easy how we change our mind. According to the Word of God, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's how you change your mind, getting into the Word of God. Now, I'm going to show you this repentance to God and to others is very important to the Lord. And so Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, and I'm just going to let the whole... If you have something against somebody, guys, talk to the Lord about it, okay? Get it under the blood, all right? And if the Holy Spirit tells you that you need to go talk to that person, then do it. I'm not telling you as your pastor that every time that something comes up that you need to go talk to that person or that you need to go have a conversation, but sometimes you do. And it's everything's an individual thing. It's something that you need to take to the Lord. And here's this one in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift, okay? And so you're not only just repenting to God, sometimes you may have to repent to other people. How many of you in here are married? We've got 52 years here. There's been a lot of repentance going on in this relationship right here, I know. And if you're married, you understand what I'm talking about. A lot of repentance, a lot of change in your mind. Jada's my Holy Spirit junior, I promise you. And, you know, there's been many times I've had to get, and God's told me, Mark, I'm not listening to your prayer because how you're treating Jada. And it's the word, okay? Guys, that's the word. You got to treat your spouse right, amen? And so that God will hear your prayer. So there's this deal of repenting before God and before others. James 5:16 says this, confess your trespasses to one another. One translation says your faults, one says your sins. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I'm going to say this because I've had this happen to me several times. And people just kind of get into left field with this because I'm trying to teach you to repent to God and to others. And if God tells you to go to that person, then yes, go. And the reason why I say listen to God and tell you to go, because that I guarantee you when you're really listening to the Holy Spirit and he tells you to go, that other person's dealing with it too. But I've had situations where somebody will just say repent to God and others, and they just walk around I've had this phone call before. Hey, I wanted to call you because I needed to forgive you. I'm like, do what? I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, Don't dump that on me. I had no clue. Marcia, and you're just sitting there going, do what? That's not, don't do that, okay? That's getting spooky, weird, spiritual. And this just makes people not even come to church no more. Okay? If you need to forgive somebody, do it before the Lord first. And if he tells you to go to that person, then go. Don't call them up on the phone. You know what? I'm forgiving you now because of what you did yesterday. And they don't even know what you're talking about. You know? But when you listen to the Holy Spirit and you do this with the Holy Spirit, I promise you that other person, that you're going to know. Both of you are going to know. But don't do it like that. Is that making sense to anybody? I'm hoping I'm helping somebody out, okay? Because I've had that happen before, and that's not how you do that. Okay, here's number three. Number three is renounce the lies of Satan. Every bondage begins with a lie. Every bondage begins with a lie. Got to remember that. And this is in Luke chapter 15 that we're staying in. I'm going to read verses 25 through 29 to you. It says, now his older son was in the field, so we're going to the older son now. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing and the partying that was going on because his younger brothers come home. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now look how the older son responds. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to him, I want you to see the bondage here, okay? When somebody starts using absolutes, there's bondage. He said, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed. Okay, he's not Jesus, all right? He's not Jesus, I promise. He's not the perfect one. Every one of us in here are transgressors. I've spent 2 days with my grandkids. They're transgressors. Okay, I love them dearly, but they transgressed all over me for 2 days, all right? Okay, we're all transgressors. I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. All right, so he's crying the blues. Now, I'm going to show you something that you may have never seen in the Word, and this was really a revelation for me, is because this older brother, even though he's in church, he's at home in church, he's in bondage too. He's just as in much bondage as his younger brother was living in the prodigal living, all right? And this is what happens. I'm going to take you back up to Luke verse 15, verse 12. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So look at this. He divided, did it say him? It says them. So he divided, the father at that time of their lives, he divided the inheritance because the younger son was asking for it. He divided it to both of them. And in the Jewish culture, the older son would have got more. So he had more than one goat, all right, in that he was in bondage. He probably got two-thirds of the inheritance and the younger brother got a third, all right. So I want you to see that in verse 12. It says, so he had divided to them his livelihood. Boy, this older brother was messed up, isn't he? Verse 31, it says, and he said to him, son, this is the father speaking to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Guys, here's what I want us all to be. There's a lot of prodigal sons and daughters coming home. You're going to be coming back in the fold, coming into church and everything, and I don't want to act like an older brother. I want to be rejoicing when they come in. I don't want to be saying, where have you been? What have you been doing? You should have been here years ago. All those kind of things. No, we want to welcome them in to the family of God. And everybody said, amen. We don't want to be angry about it. This older brother, because what he saw his dad doing to the younger brother, this older brother was in bondage to jealousy, envy, hate, and murder. I mean, he, all the things that can go wrong. He was, guys, here's what I want to say. We do not want to act like the older brother because there's going to be a lot of prodigal sons and daughters coming home. And I'm going to tell you this right now. They may take your seat in church. Give it to them. We get territorial. We do. I'll never forget when I was ministering at the First Christian Church at Camargo. I'll never forget this story. I got to tell it. This is when you might know you're an older brother, okay? The deals, you might know you're a redneck. Well, this is, you might know you're an older brother. And this church was filling up, and there was an elderly couple. They have since went home to be with the Lord. They're believers. They went home to be with the Lord. But there was one particular Sunday where there was some people that come into church. The church was full, and they were sitting in their pew. And I'm sitting up front because the pastor at the First Christian Church, when I was filling in for him, you had to sit up here and just see everybody that come in. And when they came in, it was the older brother's response that was in this scripture. They were like, I'm like, my gosh, there's another pew right over here. But they were sitting in their pew, right? So here's what I'm telling you right now. We're not going to get territorial, right? Look at somebody say, we're not going to get territorial. Okay. All right, here's number four. Number four, receive the gifts of the Father. And I love this part of the Father, because the Father in this situation represents the Father God. I hope you're picking up on that. In verse 22, it says, but the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And this could be a three-point sermon series here, three messages here, but I'm going to give it to you as quickly as I can. And what this means is the Lord saying, I'm going to give him a robe, I'm going to give him a ring, and I'm going to give him sandals. And as you journey with God, God wants to give you, even if you've been sitting in the house for 30 or 40 years, or if you just come home from prodigal living, God wants to give you a robe, he wants to put a ring on your finger, and he wants to put shoes on your feet, sandals on your feet. And these all represent something spiritually, and I'm going to show this to you. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So God has covered you with a robe of righteousness. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received a robe of righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's his. But it puts you in right standing with God. So you have this robe. Whether you've been sitting in church for 30 or 40 years as a believer, or whether you're a prodigal son or daughter, you just came home. Prodigal sons and daughters, they come home, they don't have to earn that robe. Hope you hear that. When they come home, they're going to get the robe that day. All right, they're going to get the ring that day. They're going to get the sandals that day. I heard a pastor preach this one time, and so he was, as a pastor thing, he was like, it all had to start with R, and he goes, and I don't know why they didn't have something, some kind of shoe that started with R back in the Middle East days, you know, in the Old Testament. And he said, so I made it say robe, ring, and Reeboks is what he got. All right. Genesis chapter 41, verses 42 through 44. I'm showing the type and shadows of this, what's going on, the robe and the ring. Here's the ring. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee, so he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt, because he had the ring. He had the ring of authority. Everybody say authority. He had the ring of authority. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, is as a believer, okay, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as a believer, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to cast out demons, to cast them out of yourself. And everybody said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus says, as a believer, you have that authority, and he wants you to use it. You have his ring of authority. Ephesians 6, verse 15, this is where we're talking about the sandals. And if you know, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, and it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the gospel is the power of God. And I want to show you the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and then in verse 8. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" God wants to, he's putting shoes of peace, the gospel of peace and power upon you. So what this is basically saying, let me go back. You're truly free. But what, as you journey with God, he's given you this robe of righteousness, this Jesus' righteousness. He's given you the ring of authority, the authority to use his name, Jesus' name, and the shoes of power. The Holy Spirit's going to walk with you in this walk. All right. So those are the gifts from the Father for you in this journey. And everybody said, amen. And as you walk this out, you're going to get truly free. Truly free. Look at somebody and say, you're truly free. Receive the gifts of the Father so that you can be truly free. Now, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to close this way. And if somebody could go get Taya, because I want us to go out with a song, Mark and Parker. The song, the free, free, what was that? I can't remember. We're going to go out with that one today because we're truly free, guys. And I hope you realize as they're all coming and we're bringing the kids back in here and stuff, we're going to go out with a worship song today. Believers, I hope this message helped you to see that even as a believer, you can be in bondage. And God doesn't, that's not the God's best for any of us. He wants us to be truly free. And as we're walking with him, it could be a mindset, it could be something that you were taught growing up, it could have been something that happened to you. It's amazing the things that we need delivered from. And I'm just sitting here thinking of a story that a pastor told me one time, and it's just to give you an example, I'm going to go to a major extreme here. The guy needed deliverance from Coca-Cola, not that the other Coke, the Coca-Cola. Let me get the, not the drug Coke, okay? But when he was growing up in his house, now listen to this. This is how a believer can be in bondage, and this is a whole other teaching, but I feel like I need to share this. It's just, when I get up here in the pulpit, I ask the Holy Spirit to take control of my mind, and if I have a thought, I'm going to go with it, because I didn't make this up. And I feel this thought this morning, and this may help somebody here. I hope it does. But this young boy grew up in a home where his parents would not let him drink any kind of pop, okay, at all. And so he made this inner vow that even though he knew the Lord, and this is going to sound crazy, but he's made this inner vow. He said, you know what, when I get old enough to have my own house, my own refrigerator, and I can go buy my own groceries, I'm buying all the pop I can. And he did. In fact, when he got older, in his house, he took it to an extreme, this inner vow, believer being in bondage, he got a whole nother refrigerator, and it was full of Coca-Cola. And so he never ran out. He drank Coke all the time. And a pastor... this pastor was telling the story that he went over to visit this guy one day, and he told the pastor, "Pastor, you want a Coke?" The pastor's like, "Sure, I'll have a Coke with you." He said, and the pastor said, "I had no idea this was a problem in his life, but he said I would drink and I'd get about half my Coke drink, and he would run over there and fill it back up, and he kept doing this, and I was like, my gosh, I think I've drank a six pack of Coke while we've been sitting here talking, And he finally said, "What's the deal?" And so this guy told him his story. And so he said, "Well, Pastor, when I was growing up, because my parents never let me have anything like this, And so when I said, when I get out of the house, I'm going to have my own refrigerator and I'm going to have it stocked full. And he said, I went over, opened up his refrigerator and showed him. He said, man, he just had cases of Coke in his refrigerator. He said, I never ran out, Pastor, never run out. And the pastor had to tell him, that's a problem. And you know, you've made an inner vow and you need to break that, because it's, or you're going to lose all your teeth, you know, if you don't. That was kind of, and I'm just sharing that story because it came to me just now, and there may be an inner vow that you made because of something that somebody did to you growing up. You could have opened a door to something. A lot of men were opening doors to pornography, and we can't do that. Because what happens is that causes a spirit of lust to come upon you. And then later down the road, and you might say, well, I can get away with it for a little bit, and then later down the road, it bites you in the rear end. And it causes a relationship, your marriage to, you know, infidelity, adultery, whatever. And guys, that's an open door that we need to shut, okay? And if you give the enemy that saying, if you give the enemy an inch, he'll become the ruler of your life. That's how he does it, little by little. He don't just come in all at once. Little by little, as we open these cracks up, you know, these doors up. So we want to close all those doors today in Jesus' name. Amen? And so I want to lead you in this prayer today, okay? And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes, and that's just for you to just focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. And I want to lead you in this prayer this morning, and I'm going to have you actually repeat it after me. And I just believe that we're just going to close doors today. We're going to take authority over every evil spirit, everything that's not of God, and we're just going to command it to go in Jesus' name. And we're just going to close all these doors. And maybe the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you of a door that you have opened or cracked open or whatever. And he's telling you, the Holy Spirit's witnessing to your inner spirit saying, okay, that's a door you need to close. That's a door you need to close. Well, listen to that voice today and do that today. Don't leave here and saying, well, I'll do it tomorrow or whatever. Or I'm going to go try that one more time and then I'll close that door. No, don't. The Holy Spirit's telling you today to close that door, whatever it is. Or to release that inner vow, something you've made that you need to release to the Lord. So I'm gonna lead you in this prayer, and I want you to repeat it after me. Say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Lord, I repent. And you need to start whatever, if you know the things that you need to repent of, you can start sharing those, I mean, just confessing those to the Lord right now. But I just repent of fill in the blank, whatever it is. Now say this, I ask you to release me from every bondage. In Jesus' name. I take authority over every evil spirit, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. In every place that evil spirits have left me, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, okay. That was just a very simple prayer of deliverance, okay? Closing doors, getting rid of anything that's not of God, and closing those doors. And I want everybody to stand up because we're going to walk out of here free today, amen? And I hope this teaching helped you guys today? All right. Close all these doors. Close those doors and keep the door open to the Lord, okay? All right, Taya. Let's go out with this song today, and then I'm going to come up and speak a blessing over you.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins.
There we go. I'm back on. Man, you guys sound good this morning. Y'all sound free. Amen. Will you be truly free today? Yeah. Babe, will you come up here with me and we're going to speak a blessing over you. I love it when Parker's playing the drums and you see sticks flying. I saw the stick fly up in there. Yeah, I love it. You know you're free when that happens. Yes, amen. I love it. And one thing I want to part with today, something I didn't say in my message that I felt like when I was standing over and was worshiping that I should have had in my notes was one of the ways that you can just simple deliverance is keep everything in the light.
Amen.
But with God and with others.
Amen.
Around you, especially the ones that are close to you. Your spouse and those, your family, the ones that are close to you. If you just keep it in the light, keep it. Don't hide. Don't have any secrets. Don't put things in darkness. And I promise you, you'll walk in freedom.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All right, I'm gonna speak a blessing over you guys. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. 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 Love you guys. Have a blessed 4th of July.